It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate with chicken fingers and cane sauce. And introducing plush puppies that benefit local pet organizations. Hap, hap, happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love.
Your future, their stability. That's the Texas Department of Criminal Justice's way. Family life work balance is what's important. Stable employment, steady paycheck, full health care, and retirement. Work part-time or full-time starting at $20 an hour. With a new pay scale, you can't afford not to join the TDCJ team today. Apply at www.tdcj.texas.gov/co. Start a new career with the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Go to www.tdcj.texas.gov/co and find out how. Serve Texas. With purpose.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
So just in case you haven't had a peek at what's happening around the rest of the world, communist China is enduring a bit of an uprising because of their totalitarian crackdown on the China virus, the virus that they so lovingly gifted to the entire world. Nearly 7 million people have paid with their lives because of the China virus. And since it's breaking out over there, allegedly, in China, they're really clamping down. And it is... Folks, it got to the point to where, because of the China virus lockdowns, communist Chinese officials allowed 10 people to burn to death in a home because they couldn't break quarantine. So the place caught on fire, so they allowed them to die rather than let them out of quarantine. And then all manner of excrement hit the fan. You've got uprisings, which, by the way, is distressing. The American press. Have you noticed how distressed the American press are when people rise up against their government oppressors? I mean, some of these people are openly fretting and worrying. Gosh, some Americans might get the wrong idea that the government is, that they're supposed to be in charge of the government, not the other way around. You can see the worry in their eyes, which I'm okay with. The more the biased press worries, the more I like it. The more Democrats are worried and losing sleep, the more I like it. What's going on over in China right now, my friends, is fear. And it's not the people who are afraid. The people have been repressed for so long. They're no longer afraid. It's all calloused now. The people who are afraid are the communist apparatchiks. The commies who have suppressed and repressed their own people, committed crimes against humanity. That is a crime against humanity, in my humble opinion. When you suppress people's rights, their basic human rights, which is what communism is all about, what left-wing extremism is all about. Why? Do you guys realize that they're over there and they're showing protest placards with their blank? You know, over here in America, we'd say, you know, stop your gun confiscation, right, on a sign. Well, over there, they can't speak out against their government. So they hold up big, blank, white signs to basically demonstrate, hey, we're being silenced. We can't speak out to defend ourselves. By the way, can I point out that there is no Second Amendment over in China? Much of the biased press here in the United States is for 100% gun confiscations, that only the government has the ability to have firearms. Of course, that has the impact of the people can't rise up. The people can't check. See, the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution provided a valuable check on absolute totalitarian government power. With an armed American population, that was what the Founding Fathers viewed as a check and balance. And the Democrats, along with their agents in the press, want to get rid of that valuable check. It's bad over there in communist China, folks. But what I find fascinating is just how sympathetic they seem to be over here in the United States on the among the American left, in particular in the Biden regime and in the aforementioned basket of biased press. There's also His Eminence, Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci has been out there on record claiming how much he trusts the communist Chinese scientists, and he has no earthly idea of the relationship between the communists and their scientists. Well, wait a minute. Why would you be sending them funding if you had no idea of the relationship between the most repressive, genocidal, inhuman regime on the planet and what kind of influence they have over their scientists? Well, I trust the scientists, Dr. Fauci says. But as in testimony with Senator Kennedy, Dr. Fauci had his rear end handed to him on that. It was marvelous and instructive to see. Listen to this.
How do you know they didn't lie to you and use the money for gain of function research anyway?
Well, we've seen the results of the experiments that were done and that were published, and that the viruses that they studied are on public databases now. So none of that was gain of function. So
how do you know they didn't do the research and not put it on their website?
There's no way of guaranteeing that.
Uh-huh. So naturally, there's no way of guaranteeing that American taxpayer money wouldn't be used for nefarious and destructive and inhuman purposes. So naturally, there's no way to guarantee that. So naturally, Dr. Fauci wrote the check on your behalf. He was given the authority to write that check. And then Senator Kennedy continued to press the issue with His Eminence.
In our experience with grantees, including Chinese grantees, which we've had interactions with for a very long period of time, they're very competent, trustworthy scientists. I'm not talking about anything else in China. I'm talking about the scientists, that you would expect that they would abide by the conditions of the grant.
You think all the scientists have told the truth in terms of the origin of the Wuhan virus and not been influenced by the Communist Party of China, do you?
I don't have enough insight into the Communist Party in China to know the interactions right between them and the scientists, sir.
So wait a minute. He says on one hand that, yeah, I have no way of verifying and tracking how American taxpayers' money are being used. Those monies are being used by communist China. I have no way of tracking it. I just trust them. And then he gets out and admits he has no earthly idea how the communists exert their control or what kind of level of influence they have on the scientific community in China. So why the hell, Dr. Fauci, are you giving them money? If you can't verify how these dollars are being used, and you say, well, I trust all the scientists, but I have no way of verifying whether they're worthy of that trust. Seriously, this guy has been talking out of both sides of his mouth for a good many years. And it seems to me, folks, he's running interference for one of his favorite regimes on the planet, and that would be communist China. And Democrats and leftists have a very nasty habit of doing this. And it ends up costing us big time with technological secrets, with patents and intellectual property, and not to mention economic damage being done by China. And so now you're seeing the people of China under communist repression rising up, and the worldwide left is very concerned, including the left wing here in the United States. We expand on this conversation about China and other hotspots around the globe with Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is CIA trained. He's pro-American and probably has a few things to say about the pro-China regime that we have in this country right now, known as the Democrat Party, and the Biden regime. That's coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Tired of cable news lying to you? It's time the establishment media went the way of the dinosaurs and for free digital journalism to rise. At Texas Scorecard, we bring you real news for real Texans with no paywalls ever. Go to texasscorecard.com today.
Do you realize that I'm not sure how much success they're going to have. I mean, after Tiananmen Square, I kind of lost all hope that the people of China would be able to overthrow their communist overseers. That being said, it's pretty bad over there. That I think that our only hope in the United States to survive Beijing Biden, to survive the Democrat Party, is that the communist regime of China falls. I think that's our only hope of survival, to be quite honest with you. Because if the commies remain in place, you've got the Democrat Party over here in the United States dedicated to making sure we submit, making sure that we lose our rights and liberties to their kind. I don't like that prospect, don't get me wrong. I think that would be tragic. But the very idea that our own destiny isn't in our own hands disturbs me. Let me talk about what is actually going on and what the likelihood of how this all plays out with retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, CIA trained, former senior intelligence officer and a New York Times bestselling author. He is a Newsmax contributor and a senior fellow for the London Center for Policy Research and the Center for Advanced Defense Studies. Colonel, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Always great to join you.
Great to have you here. So China, sure. Anti-lockdown unrest is spreading an astonishing, this is a quote, astonishing challenge to the Communist Party of China's rule, and some are boldly proclaiming they want Xi Jinping to resign. What is your take on all this?
Well, I think you can only push a population, no matter how they've been kind of culturally forced into a certain way of thinking, before they break, if you start doing things to actually impact their lives where they can't live. I mean, that's what's going on here. You're talking about zero COVID, which basically means if one guy on your block in your neighborhood gets COVID, you all get locked down. And I mean severely locked down. Not like you can just, you know, order Deal Dash or, you know, whatever to come drop off food. I mean, you get isolated. So, you know, like any other nation in the past where you've had these highly evocative leaders, these totalitarian leaders, people are eventually going to get fed up with it, and that's what we're seeing here. And Chris, to your point, we continue to empower Xi and his thugs through this continued cooperation and exchange of goods and services. We've really got to find a way to cut back on that, because otherwise we are not living up to our values. And this came up when Biden met with Xi a few weeks ago, like 10 days ago.
Sure.
Biden said nothing about trying to push the communist leadership to change the ways they go about basically victimizing as a policy their people. So I think this victimization, this case, Chris, has reached a point of like, we're just not going to take it. And the question now becomes, can we do something to help them free themselves from the yoke of totalitarianism as we go forward?
You know, my sense is the Democrat Party here in the United States is distressed over the possibility of a people rising up and overthrowing a communist dictatorship. You saw what Obama did to Cuba. When the Cuban people were starting to get agitated, what did Obama do? He opened up trade to Cuba so that the regime could be empowered to continue to put their boot on the throat of those people. So you get the sense the Democrat Party sees a people uprising, the pitchforks coming out. And of course, the Democrats know that they are more aligned with the CCP than they are with the founding fathers of this country. So this greatly distresses Democrats. And the reason I say that, Colonel, is because I just get the sense that the Democrats, you say we've got to reverse this trend of this exchange and this empowerment of the communist regime of China. But so long as a Democrat holds one elected office that can make any decisions in this country, I think we're never going to get there, because the Democrats are invested in making sure the totalitarian powers remain in power.
That's right. And that's why we've had so little progress in pushing back against the military ambitions as well. Chris, you and I have spoken about this a couple times in years past, but I'll kind of go through it again for your audience here. The Chinese have huge vulnerabilities. They have huge flaws in their system. First, the bear tree effect of the one-child policy. Basically, they have a male population is going to be coming looking for wives, and there's not enough women to match that up. So that's a huge issue that they created.
Huge. Although,
you know, that is not done yet, even though they got rid of the policy. Secondly, They are huge consumers of petroleum, of fossil fuel. They have on any given time a two to three week supply of it. And if you want to crash their economy, you just shut it off. You basically go to the Straits of Malacca, you put military blockades in, you stop it. And third is the issue of protein and water. Because they have such large populations, there's always competition for fish in the Red Sea. And, of course, they're spending as much on potable water, maintaining and finding it, as they are in defense. So we have failed to remind them, the communist Chinese, of these huge vulnerabilities that we could easily do something about to stymie their economy and stymie their military ambitions, but they won't do it. And they won't do it because of what you just said, Chris. The Democrats who are now in charge do not want to do anything to impede the continuation. Taylor Lorenz, the Washington Post, even said that she felt that we are going to kill millions of people by not locking down like the Chinese regarding COVID. So that's how insane they are. They even have these people saying this sort of thing out loud now at this point in time. So
absolutely nuts. I want to, by the way, Colonel Tony Schaefer, our guest right now, want to play something. This is Dr. Fauci, His Eminence, Dr. Fauci, talking about China. He doesn't believe that they covered anything up. This is his exchange this weekend, which, by the way, from what I can tell, Colonel, this was only available online. They took it out of the broadcast, did CBS, and you might understand why after you hear what His Eminence has to say. Listen.
The Washington Post editorial board had an interesting piece on this recently. I don't know if you read it, but about the secrecy regarding the origins. And it says the world owes those who died, 6 million people, but probably twice that or more, to be better prepared in the future. The cover-up is immense and still in place. China should now agree to a full and thorough scientific investigation that returns to Wuhan. Do you agree with that word, cover-up? An intentional
I don't know what that
distortion.
Means. No, it isn't that I agree or disagree. I'm not sure what they're talking about. I mean, if cover up is not allowing people to come in and look at all the data, that's not a cover up. That's not being transparent.
Okay, so it's not being transparent. It's not a cover up, says His Eminence Dr. Fauci, going to bat for communist China. This guy has been doing this thing, has been running interference for the World Health Organization, for communist China, since this whole pandemic broke out. What's your take?
So they funded it. So, of course, he's going to try to deny and obfuscate anything relating to the issue of what actually went on. I mean, Chris, the folks over at NIH and his organization have basically outsourced research overseas. That is to say, some of the biological warfare issues, and no, let's not kid ourselves, they continue to research this, even though it's against the Geneva Convention and our own laws to do biological warfare. They've researched it. And the Chinese figured it out. It's like, oh my goodness, we can get a biological weapons program, and the U.S. is going to fund it. That's where this all came from. And that's why the Chinese don't want to talk about it. And that's why Fauci, who's gone, and I'm sure he's looked at everything we're talking about here, and he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that COVID came from China, came from the Wuhan lab, and it came from the Chinese weaponizing, our goodwill, so to speak. I don't know if it's good or not, but I'm just saying it was goodwill that we paid for it, and that's what he's afraid of us finding out. So, yes, I do believe there's a cover-up. I do believe he's lying, and I do believe the members of Congress that are going to be coming in are going to start looking at this, and they've got evidence of his email where he actually said things about not wanting to talk about Wuhan and the Chinese as the origins of COVID. So he's guilty as a man can be, after having, created the conditions for the Chinese to take benefit and create a weapon of mass destruction.
See, I think he's on this bent that there's a difference between the communist political regime and the scientists. He loves Chinese scientists, and he wants to, if I can do my Fauci impersonation, I think that we always have had a good relationship with the scientists. I've got Fauci on tape and an exchange with Senator Kennedy where he's saying he doesn't understand the nature of communism. He doesn't understand what commies do. So, because he's a scientist, he doesn't care about any of that kind of stuff. He trusts the Chinese scientists, never understand, allegedly never understanding that these scientists are under the control of those very politicians slash dictators that he claims he has no knowledge about. I mean, this just doesn't pass the smell test, does it?
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, come on, look, it's like saying that Joseph Mengele was an independent thinker in the Nazi regime. Or Stalin's scientists all, you know, were independent thinkers as he mass murdered his population. Chris, I have no ability to comprehend. I can't understand someone like Fauci, who's supposed to be a smart guy, who doesn't understand the nature of totalitarianism and how the state controls every aspect of its country, to include especially scientists who will do whatever they can as they're told by their central leadership. So Fauci is a dangerously stupid man or a fellow traveler. One of the two, and both are bad.
Dangerously stupid or just plain dangerous. Schaefer, Colonel Tony Schaefer is our guest right now, CIA trained, London Center for Policy Research, a Newsmax contributor. Let me pivot over to Ukraine. Joe Biden, his regime is said to be scrambling right now to track down where $20 billion went in Ukraine aid, because the Republicans are now saying, okay, we're going to start doing audits on you once we take over control of Congress. Isn't this the fact that they're scrambling? Doesn't this tell us everything we need to know about the level of care that Democrats take with our money?
Well, of course. Look, they shouldn't just be looking at military. I think the economic aid we gave them, plus writing off loans, benefited FTX and the Democrat Party, if you go deep enough there. So I think there needs to be a dual-prong auditing, Chris, of both the military issues regarding the billions we've sent them. Some European nations have done audits themselves and figured out that biker gangs are getting some of this hardware. It's like, I don't think Northern Europeans want biker gangs with anti-tank missiles, just saying. And if you look at the financial aspects of all the loan forgiveness, all these other things we benefited the Ukrainians, they're not an ally. They're not in the EU, and I think it's dangerous to be enriching someone, a country which is cut literally from the same cloth as the Russians. You have the oligarchs fighting the oligarchs here, Chris. It's all corruption. So I think the Democrats, I'm just going to say it, being the party of corruption, have seen fellow travelers overseas, and that's why they've been doing this. And with Republicans coming in, they've got to do a really deep, thorough audit of this. And I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I think we're going to find a lot of corruption by the current Biden administration and enriching folks that they were basically working to launder money or technology through to other countries.
See, I'm eager to get your take on this because I look at Ukraine and Russia through a different lens than say maybe Tucker does and some other folks. I look at Vladimir Putin as a former KGB agent who does not have the United States' best interests at heart. He has sided against us with our communist enemy, China, and he's a bad actor. So anything that I can do as an American that will make Vladimir Putin's life harder, that will make his efforts harder, I think is a good thing. And Ukraine, as corrupt as it is, I am okay because of the Budapest memorandum. I am okay giving them help where it makes sense, just to stick the thumb in the eye of the radioactive plutonium server, T server of Vladimir Putin. Where am I going wrong there?
Well, you're not wrong. I feel more strongly than you do about Ukraine, in that I'm not convinced that our interests arming them are helping us in the long run, because Chris, I'm all for defending the population there, but this is about sphere of influence. Ukraine would have been doing everything it does now had it stayed within the Russian sphere of influence, and they wouldn't have had the war. I'm not blaming the Ukrainians. I'm just saying this is a battle of oligarchs. So I do believe that it's in our interest to defend those who cannot defend themselves, and we do have an obligation. With that said, Putin is a bad man, and I don't take any of my words as defending him. He has murdered reporters personally in elevators in Moscow. So I think we need to be cognizant of that. But with that said, we don't want to see Russia fail. The one thing I don't want to see is Russia becoming Libya as a failed state. And that's what I think many folks want. It's like, I want to see them weakened But the one thing I do know is we don't want a failed state with nuclear weapons out there that we have to start worrying even more about. So there's a balance to be had. I think you're closer to the balance than others are. But I'm saying there's a fine line to walk here, Chris, and we can't afford to see Russia fail. At the same time, we got to do something to help the Ukrainians, and I think that's what we're all trying to do right now.
And something that's not being talked about an awful lot, but I think, wars have started for less. World wars have started for less. You've got
you've got
Turkey inching closer to an invasion of northern Syria. Now, they're going in there to take out the Kurds, which, by the way, I can't speak for the Democrats out there, but freedom-loving Americans have backed in the past and continue to support, because in the Kurds in northern Iraq, and I'm giving everybody else a lesson, not you, Colonel. The Kurds in northern Iraq, they were the closest thing to freedom when we had partitioned Iraq after in Saddam Hussein's time. They had a thriving economy. They were pro-Western, and they were great fighters, and they were the front line for the longest time in fighting Barack Hussein Obama's ISIS when it developed.
Right.
So now you got Erdogan giving the go-ahead to invade, to go wipe out these Kurds, which, by the way, they're babysitting all of Obama's ISIS fighters right now. We're talking tens and thousands of these cutthroats. And this is going to be nothing but bad news for the West if Erdogan pulls the trigger and does this.
Well, Chris, we've continued not to learn our lessons, because Erdogan, as you probably remember, was helping keep the back door open to ISIS during, again, making us have to support our Kurdish allies even more, because he was trying to undermine them. So, yes, while everybody's looking at Russia, Ukraine, North Korea, China, the Turkish, or supposed to be a NATO ally, are looking to go and do this maneuver to get in there. And Syria is not stable. There's been more conflict there continuing quietly. But, yeah, I think that we've not recognized or not being able to work nimbly enough to understand this from the foreign policy aspects. I'm one of those who did promote the idea of a Kurdish home state. They basically should have their own country. That would require Iran, Turkey, Iraq, Syria, all giving up terrain for them to have a homeland. And obviously, I think the Democrats oppose that for any number of reasons. But I think that's something that's going on that we are not paying attention to. And that could result in Turkey, if they do it, potentially leaving NATO. And then, because Turkey's been working more with Russia.
I know.
Than they have with NATO lately. So it's something else to pay attention to.
It is. And of course, that crack could, because Turkey, strategically speaking, is needed. I mean, I don't think I'm talking out of school. Strategically speaking, they are needed. So if they bolt and they go to what I call the axis of oppression, the China, Russia, Iran, if all of a sudden Turkey is in that camp, that is a big, I mean, I think that sets off a series of events that, as stated, that I believe leads us to a world war. But that's a different discussion.
Well, we can't live without the Bosphorus Straits being open because of where that goes and supports goes into the Black Sea and everything. So, yes, that's a huge issue, Chris. And again, I just don't think, we've got the high school debating team in charge of foreign policy right now, and I don't think they're capable of dealing with it.
So, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. I laugh because if I don't, I'm going to cry. And that leads us to our final discussion point today, Colonel.
Sure.
The United States military is going to need to be at its best, at its peak. From what you've been able to glean from those who were still in who were talking to you, what is the status of American forces right now? I mean, across the board, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Army, where are we in readiness and preparedness?
So I think part of the fact that we don't have the preparedness we should, Chris, is just the reasons that what we just talked about. There's no real focus on foreign policy. So much of our military has to be focused on areas of concern as we recognize them through, the actions of others across the planet. And our strategic operational goals are set up based on those. The military just can't wander around and say, oh, I want to look at invading Taiwan. So, they have to have specific goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that we don't, even though they put out this new strategy, it's completely muddled. Nobody really knows what the military is supposed to do at this point. Space Force is developing capability to defend things in low Earth orbit. Way overdue. Good idea. I hope they stand up and do it. I'm not confident because, again, we have bad leadership. Air Force is supposed to be able to basically put ordnance on any part of the planet, either nuclear or conventional, at any given time based on any plan. Nuclear forces, we've said this before, Chris, we have technology from the 1970s still on the front lines. We have not updated it. I'm very concerned about the nuclear deterrence. Conventional Air Force, there's some capability there, but it's limited. A lot of the weapons we would have to use have been given to the Ukrainians, so we're limited there. Army's a basket case. You have the old-timers who I think understand strategy and tactics and could do a good job, but you've got a lot of folks coming in right now who think that being woke is the way to be in the Army properly, and I think we'll have huge problems if we have to deploy large forces rapidly in a conflict. Navy's having its own challenges with its nuclear Navy. They don't have enough carriers to do everything they need to do regarding a two-pronged war, and they too have their own issues with woke. So I think there's a real challenge that's before us by the fact we don't have a focused, capable military based on, I was brought up in the Reagan era. The Reagan era had clear policy goals that related to clear planning goals for the military, and things were set up to be successful. We have no interest at the senior level of being successful. It's all about touchy-feely things and trying to feel better about whatever your issue is as a human being. And I don't think that's a good way to set up the military to run.
And not only do we have the high school debating team in charge of this country, they're not even a pro-American high school debating team. And that's what makes them incredibly, incredibly dangerous. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, CIA trained, folks, London Center for Policy Research and a Newsmax contributor. Always appreciate your time on the Salcedo Storm podcast, and Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Chris, and great being on with you. Thanks.
That's going to put a wrap on this Salcedo Storm podcast. Folks, do me a favor and visit two websites. First, TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. Big news in Texas translates to big news in the United States. Also, visit ChrisSalcedo.com. You can drop me an email, drop me a voicemail. You can learn how to book me for a speech and keep track of the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV on talk radio in the morning time. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. And in the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5 on Newsmax TV. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather it's measured by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. See ya.
This holiday season, Peloton's got a gift for you. Right now, get up to $200 off accessories with the purchase of a Peloton Tread. Accessories like non-slip grip resistance bands, a heart rate monitor, yoga blocks, and more. Take your workout to the next level with Peloton. Motivation that moves you. Hurry, this limited time offer ends December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.